It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott's here. Mary Jo Foley's here. Microsoft's earnings are here. We'll put it all in perspective. But the TLDR, it was a very, very good quarter. Some strange numbers in there, though. Paul and Mary Jo will explain next on Windows Weekly.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 774, recorded Wednesday, April 27th, 2022. Into the cloud bucket. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Tanium. Tanium unites operations and security teams with a single platform that identifies where all your IT data is, patches every device you own in seconds, and implements critical security controls, all from a single pane of glass. Are you ready to protect your organization from cyber threats? Learn more at tanium.com/twit. And by IT Pro TV. Give your team an engaging IT development platform to level up their skills. Volume discounts start at 5 seats. Go to itpro.tv/windows and make sure to mention WW30 to your designated IT Pro TV account executive to get 30% off or more on a business plan. And by PlexTrack, the purple teaming platform. Save time and increase productivity with the premier cybersecurity reporting and workflow management product designed to support proactive security strategies from assessment through remediation. Visit PlexTrack.com/twit and claim your free month. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we get together and talk about Microsoft and what piles of money they're making. At least it will be this week. Mary Jo Foley is here. AllAboutMicrosoft.com is her website for the ZDNet folks. Hello, Mary Jo.
Hello.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me take down this I Love Linux penguin just for the moment that we're doing.
No, Microsoft loves Linux.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's right. I should get a little window hat on there. That's Paul Thurrott, Thurrott.com. Leanpub.com, and together, Paul and Mary Jo know it all about Microsoft. So after our conversation last week, I decided that you were right, Paul, that I shouldn't get like a fancy Windows laptop. I should get one like normal people get. That's right. And then I noticed that there are 12th generation Dell XPSs available.
There you go.
So I got is a 12th. Gen, and it was an i5.
I thought you were going to say the Saudi royal family was selling a gold encrusted version of a Huawei MateBook or something.
Yeah, right.
It was like $12,000.
No. It's actually given what it is. I mean, it's a nice notebook. I've always liked the XPS notebooks.
Oh, they're beautiful.
Yeah, and so I'll have an i5 12th gen to report in. They say in July. Yeah. I'm hoping to get it before our TWiT cruise.
Get a 13 or a 15?
Yeah. 15.
Yeah, beautiful.
The 13s don't yet have 12th gen, I don't think. It was only the 15s and 17s.
Interesting.
John, you're playing Frank Zappa in the studio.
There's a dissenting voice on the XPS 13.
Yes, we were talking before the show began about the Alaska cruise, and I just want to reiterate it is not too late to sign up if you want to go July 16th through the 23rd. We've got lots of fun and games planned. Paul and Mary Jo, no, Mary Jo's not going to be there. It's Paul and your real wife, not your work wife. Paul and Stephanie will be there. Lisa and I will be there. Rich Campbell is going on his very own dime, which is nice. So is Brad Sams. Who else is coming?
No, Raphael Rivera.
Raphael, that's right. Rafael Rivera. So it's going to be kind of a Windows-ish thing. So I think I'm going to bring the Dell. If you have not yet booked and you want to, I am told there's still our travel agent said there's still cabins. Cruise.twit.tv. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it should be pretty amazing.
Yeah. Okay. So yesterday, Microsoft. It's interesting. Just to put this in perspective, Google had a no good, terrible, very bad quarter. They blame the war, which is a little far-fetched.
Since you mentioned Google, I'll just point this out now. I have this later in the notes. They earned more revenues than Microsoft did. Their ad business earned more revenues than
put it
everything that Microsoft does combined.
But they disappointed the market. So,
Well,
so there you go.
But let's bring this up again because
we'll put a pin in that one. Yeah.
Because I think there's some of the things that Microsoft's doing and some of the stuff they mentioned in this earnings call are direct related to that fact, I think. You know, this notion that Microsoft in the past had kind of an Apple envy thing and wanted part of that devices thing and never achieved it. And for even longer time, I think they've wanted a part of the whole advertising online services revenue thing on the client side, which, you know, anyway, we'll talk about that. It comes up. It definitely comes up and you can kind of see, we'll call it Google envy. I think it's maybe the
Google envy. They have no reason to have Google envy. They had an excellent quarter.
It's true.
Right? I mean, they didn't make as much money.
No, they did.
Google.
In fact, one of the things I was kind of looking for was, don't you sort of feel like the bottom has to fall out at some point? I mean, the pandemic, you know, kind of crests. And it's not like they're going to lose money. But, I mean, maybe the growth slows, something like that. But, I mean, honestly, they just keep nailing it.
Yeah.
Yep. It's kind of incredible.
Yeah. And this, you know, in the face of the stock market, you know, tech stocks tumbling, Tesla losing $100 billion in market value. I can't figure that one out.
I can tell you why.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Tell me what
you can. Can you?
Because of Elon Musk. I mean, Elon Musk is that kind of mercurial character. So his shenanigans are going to have repercussions.
Well, they're mostly worried that he borrowed a ton of Tesla stock to pay for Twitter, and they're afraid that that's not going to go well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, kids, tell us, give us the bottom line, Mary Jo.
Yeah.
Earnings, learnings.
Yeah. So, Microsoft made a lot of money, Q3.
Bottom line, there you go.
$50 billion.
TLDR.
Almost $50 billion.
$50 billion revenue.
Yep. Of that, 23.4 was what they call the Microsoft Cloud, which used to be called the commercial cloud. Azure.
It's fake. Yeah. Sorry, what?
Azure, Microsoft 365, LinkedIn, Dynamics 365. Microsoft made, as we talk about a lot, they made up this bucket of things that all are cloud and put them all together, and they call this the Microsoft Cloud.
But it was half of their revenue.
Yeah, it was half of their revenue.
Yeah,
literally.
Almost,
right.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So anybody who says, how is Microsoft still making money during the pandemic and the war and all that? It's because of their cloud business. That's in short, that's where it's coming
from.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. So all the segments were up. You know, they've got the intelligent cloud, which is server products and cloud services. That's where Azure lives. Productivity and business process. That's where Office, LinkedIn, Dynamics are. That was up. And even more personal computing. Windows, Xbox Search and Surface. Wow, that was a mouthful. Search and Surface.
You could barely cough out the word Xbox, and it just went
down. I know. I was like, Xbox. Hairball.
Hairball. Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, if you look at the slides, you're just kind of like, okay, everything pretty much was up. There are a couple little blips of things that were not, but for the most part, everything grew. And when I asked Microsoft, okay, how did you do it? What was the way that you made this all happen? They said, we had stronger than expected sales execution, greater than expected commercial bookings, especially because of Azure. And they said they're getting longer and bigger Azure contracts that are coming in. So it's like, everything's looking rosy. Only 1% of their business comes from Russia. So it's not like their halt on new business in Russia had any material impact on them.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, there's always someone in the audience that calls out the Azure growth number as if it's some kind of a warning sign, right? This business is about, 13 years old, I think. It grew 40% year over year in the quarter.
It grew more even. Yeah.
Astonishing.
46%. Yeah.
46%, I'm sorry. You know, there was a period of time there where they were able to maintain 70% growth. And when it kind of fell below that, people started freaking out. But you got to understand, this is not a new thing. They didn't invent this 2 weeks ago. This has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
I think for a mature business like that to still experience that kind of growth is incredible.
Yeah. It is.
Incredible.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one, when I looked quickly, they put out a PowerPoint every time they do earnings. The first thing I noticed when I looked across the PowerPoint was Dynamics didn't do what they expected. And that's so that may seem trivial to a lot of people listening to this, but actually, if you look at how much Microsoft's been pushing Dynamics and bundling Dynamics with other product sales, and they're really vested in this product line growing. So Dynamics is ERP and CRM. It's where they compete with Salesforce, right? And other companies. This was off a bit. And they just said, you know what? We have big aspirations in that market. I'm like, yeah, but you didn't have the big sales that you had in previous recent quarters.
Yeah. So one of the things we got to kind of highlight here is the language that Microsoft uses when they do talk about something, which is often very muddy. And then, of course, they just don't say things about a lot of stuff. So one of the comments they had made about Dynamics, which I think is kind of interesting, is that this business is growing faster than the business applications market overall.
Right.
Like, okay. Yeah. So, okay.
And?
And what does that mean? So what is Dynamics' position in that market? It's probably a very small minority position is what it is.
It's small. And, it's small compared to like Salesforce, but growing, you know, still growing.
But growing. It's still, so they probably grew share some minor amount, but they're still very small. And of course, it's easy to grow when you're small. It is.
Yeah.
I think you got to look at that and say, there's not really, there wasn't a lot of positivity there, you know, that they could talk about.
Yeah.
Specifically.
You can bet in Q4, which they're in now, they're really going to be cracking down on the salespeople to get people to buy Dynamics. You can already feel it. Like for us in the press, they push a lot of Dynamics case studies right now to us, like customer wins, right? Because they want us to write about how great Dynamics is doing.
Note, this is not the same part of the business, but Microsoft Viva, I think, kind of fell into this category as well. Microsoft Viva, I believe, is technically part of productivity and business processes, which
it is
mostly Microsoft 365, right?
Yeah.
Is that the same? No, Dynamics is in Intelligent Cloud, right? Dynamics?
No, Dynamics is also in productivity. And
okay, so actually they're all in. Yeah. Okay, that's good. They're all in the same part of they're in the same part of the business. So this is a business that is fairly new, right? I would say about a year old at this point.
Viva,
It has 10 million monthly active users.
Yeah.
Is that good? Is this, you know, like how do you get Viva as an enterprise or as a commercial customer? Is it an add-on to Microsoft 365 essentially?
Yeah.
This is a solution for onboarding employees and then I think for engaging employees after the fact.
Right.
And it's fine for this hybrid world where we're not all going into an office kind of thing. But it seems to me like this was an attempt, like we need another value add on top of Microsoft 365. It makes sense for the era we're living in.
Yeah.
Is this good? I don't even know what to compare this to. Like, what would you even, like, what other businesses are like this? It's kind of a weird. It's in a weird place.
It is. It's also, you and I were talking about this morning. It's telling when you have an earnings call from Microsoft about numbers they give you and numbers they don't give you, right? And the numbers we didn't get this quarter, which I kind of thought we might, was the number of Office 365 commercial seats. We didn't get number. They just said up 16%, right?
I think, so tell me if this is the same thing. We didn't get seats. But I think this might be the number. There was a figure. I actually kind of paraphrased this, so this isn't going to be the exact language. 345 million paid Office 365 commercial subscriptions. Is that the number we're looking for?
I didn't see that number anywhere. Where was it?
It was in the post earnings call.
10Q. Yeah. It was.
It's probably in the 10Q as well. Yeah.
Okay.
Compared to 48.4 for consumer.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. I didn't even think they gave us a number. So I'm like, that's a little worrying.
Well, no, it's usually in the slide, but it wasn't.
It is. And Teams, no number. No, you know what? Teams didn't get a lot of play in this call at all.
No, they lumped it in with Microsoft 365. It's almost like Batman and Robin, Microsoft 365 and Teams. I think that's notable. They often talk about Teams milestones. And I think you have to think, well, why, right? So Teams usage is definitely up. But I think what you would have seen is dramatic slowing in growth.
Yeah.
And I don't think they want that to be a story.
No.
You know?
No.
Right. But I think by not mentioning it, it becomes a story. Because when you look at what they did talk about Teams, which I thought was kind of interesting, there are over 100,000 third-party Teams apps now available. Mm-hmm. That's huge mm-hmm. platform. Okay, great. Then they also made this crazy claim that, specious as I call it, that using Teams somehow saves organizations up to 60% of something.
Some complex formula.
It's reducing costs when compared to a patchwork of single point identity, productivity, collaborations, and meeting solutions. In other words, if you don't go with Teams, you have to pick little solutions that do little parts of what Teams do. And that somehow they've done math that Teams saves you 60%. 60%. Right. That's a number. See, there it is.
It's a number. Yeah.
And Teams usage has never been higher. I would hope so.
Right.
That should be true every single day.
It should. You know?
Yeah, curious.
Yeah, so those missing numbers are kind of interesting and sort of telling.
By the way, from my perspective, biggest missing number, not that I honestly expected it, but let's be honest here, Windows 11.
Yeah, they're never going to give us that number.
I know, but that itself to me shows you the soft underbelly of this happy story they're trying to tell. Highest quality scores of any version of Windows. Mm. Enterprises are adopting it at a faster pace than previous releases. Not a single hard number to be had. Not a single one. And all the usage statistics that we see from third parties put Windows, whichever you choose to believe or whatever, very, very low. Very low. And of course, you know, this is when they're making their push to get businesses to adopt Windows 11 without, I think, making a great case for it. Honestly, the biggest selling point of going to Windows 11 is that the upgrade is really easy.
Yeah.
You know?
And free.
It's free. It's like upgrading to the next version of Windows 10.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought that was sad, but expected.
Speaking of numbers that were specious, to use your word. Okay, they didn't give us a Windows 11 number. But here is a stat they gave us that both Paul and I are scratching our heads over and trying to figure out. More than 100 million PCs have shipped in each of the last 8 quarters.
Wow.
And Windows continues to take share. Okay.
That should be like a record scratch. That's what I wrote in my article. It is literally impossible.
Well, 800 literally impossible. Million new PCs
per quarter over
have eight, shipped that in means over 2 years.
800 million in two years.
It's impossible. It's impossible
for several reasons.
It's not true. It's just not true.
Well, why would if it's a lie?
I know. They've got a way that they've made this make sense.
Or calumny. Right? Let's come up with some more lie synonyms. Yeah.
Hold on a second. Mary Jo came up with the perfect phrase. Not a lie because it's technically true.
Right. Well, are they including phones as PCs?
Tablets?
We have theories.
We think what they are saying is we got 100 million PCs in each of the last 8 months, each of the last 8 quarters in the channel is our guess. Like, they're not talking about sales, right? No, they're talking about
shipped. Here's my problem with that. Now, if he had said, I still would have taken issue with this, but if he had said, in the past year, we sold 400 million. Oh, I guess it would have been, sorry. It would have been 200, right? For the past 4 quarters, we sold what's the actual number he gave him? Sorry. It was 100 million per quarter. So in the past year, the past 4 quarters, we sold 100 million Windows licenses per quarter.
No, he didn't even say Windows licenses.
No, I know. But if he had PCs. Said that, I'm changing it into something that could have been a fact.
Okay.
You could have been like, okay. Okay. Yeah. And the reason that could have been okay is twofold. One is there was a boom, for one thing. The pandemic triggered a PC buying boom. And secondly, there was a component shortage. So PC makers could have been buying licenses knowing that they got the components and they could finally ship those computers out to customers. I would accept that for a year.
Yeah.
For 1 year.
What about this crazy idea? I have a crazy idea that I just thought
of. Okay, go ahead. Yep.
Here's the actual statement. More than 100 million PCs have shipped. It doesn't say Windows PCs. It says PCs.
Wow. Okay.
So what if we're including Chromebooks, we're including Macs, right? Like, say we're including anything that can be called a PC.
Here's the thing. So we have companies.
I'm just making up crazy reasons.
I know, but let me give you some actual numbers, right? So Gartner said that in 2021, PC makers sold, and this includes Macs. Well, one of them does include Chromebooks, but Macs, PCs, and Chromebooks, 339 million. IDC, 348.8 million. I average those numbers, 344.3 million. That's in calendar year 2021. We're making up, somehow there's another, and those include non-Windows PCs.
Right.
In both cases. We'll say it's all Windows, fine. You still have to make up about 60 million. 60. And then you have to do it again.
They're rounding up.
The previous year, the number was lower. So I don't remember what it was, but let's say it was 300 and, you know, 5, 10, something like that. Whatever it was, now you have to make up another 70 to 80 million. Yeah, those two. Right. This is coming up. This isn't coming up a little short. This is coming up way short. That number is completely inaccurate. I think you're right. It's interesting that he said, I'd have to find the exact language because he didn't say
100
Windows
million
licenses.
PCs have shipped.
Yep. Are they on a boat with some cars out in the middle of the ocean? What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's because where it is. That's got to be
they
where
have
it
not
is.
Sold those, that number's not even close to being true.
I didn't even put this number in my story because I just thought, this. I can't even, like, with a good conscience, put this number in my story. I know they said it, and I know they've got a way they're backing this number up, but they never explain.
Well, I'd love
that
to see
number.
It because this is not the case.
Yeah.
This kind of reminds, you know, there was, remember they did something like that with Edge where they claimed that Edge had like X percent of something usage on. Yeah. And you kind of did the math on it. You're like, no, this is not true. Even if you included every single person that used Windows, opened a PDF file once, this thing could not have been, this is not true.
Right. Well, here's the other number that we can't figure out. Okay.
Yep.
Nearly 500 million monthly active users on our content feed, Microsoft Start. Okay. So Microsoft Start is the brand name
Before you explain it, the thing that should have gone through everyone's head is, what the heck is Microsoft Start?
No, people are tweeting that to me. People are like, what is Microsoft Start?
Right. Because you're like, what is that? Right.
Yeah.
And what is
it?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
So Microsoft Start is the rebranded name for MSN and Microsoft News Feeds, right? They're available for Windows 10. In Windows 11, they're part of that widget panel. Mm-hmm. It's all those things we've been complaining about on the show, the bikini photos, the Cardi B is a tool of Satan, blah, blah, blah.
That's actually legitimate news. And I think
I just saw that yesterday. It's fresh in my mind, but...
You know, not all of it is terrible, is what I'm saying. Anyway, it's garbage. So it's in the
500
Windows 10
million monthly active users.
Yeah, and how'd they say it? Higher engagement. Yeah, strong engagement. No, where is it? There's nothing about engagement.
Yeah, strong engagement.
He said something like, "This was like bigger engagement than they expected." Right. You shouldn't expect 5 million people to use this thing. So. What is that? You know, again, we don't know how they're measuring this, but I have to think that a lot of the measurement is someone has opened this feed in Windows, clicked on a news story. And then I'm just projecting here, but I feel like most of them are like, oh God, what is this? And then they get rid of it. And is that, I guess they engaged with the thing, you know, that's a form of engagement, but it doesn't sound like a monthly active user to me, but that's what they're talking about is 500 million people. Yeah. Who are these people? I want to meet some of these people. What are you doing with your lives? Remember MSN used, they used to claim big numbers for MSN. Remember that?
They did.
It's the reason it's still a thing, right? People supposedly use it.
Yeah. The reason it's still a thing also is it's very tied in with Microsoft advertising, right? And we've talked before about, Google is an advertising giant.
This was what I was just alluding to exactly.
So Microsoft sits there and you got to be, Satya or Chris Kapp or Amy Hood, and you're looking at, you're like, look how much money Google makes from being an advertising company.
Why can't we do this?
And the way they're making money
on other people's content. Think about it. They're like a leech on the underbelly of a shark or something.
Start Start is the same thing, right? Like they, if you go to the MicrosoftStart.com, there's a tab that says shopping. If you click on shopping, this is going to be where Microsoft sells custom ads, and ads will be part of, will be the entire feed, right? Will be the shopping. Right. So yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand. I can't refute this in any way other than to laugh and say it's ridiculous. It just doesn't sound right, but I don't have any.
We can't disprove it. I know. We can't
disprove it. But this PC thing,
I would like to hear more on how they measured the PC thing. I really would like to hear more on that.
It was so specific. They could have really made it, they could have made it less questionable if they had said Windows, you know, left the PC part of it out. I would have been like, okay, that's high, but I don't know what, you know, maybe they have agreed, you know, I don't know. I don't know how that works. Yeah. But
yeah.
When they said PCs sold, shipped, like, shipped. Mm. Is that what all the truckers were driving around with? Were they in the back?
Anybody who's tried to buy, anybody who tried to buy a PC during the pandemic knows what we're talking about, right?
Leo tried to buy a PC this week and he has to wait till July.
Forever.
I know. You know? Yeah. Now, remember when my Surface Laptop 3 died and I went down to Best Buy? I'm like, okay, I'm just going to buy a PC and use it until I can get this thing fixed.
Right.
They had almost none. Like, so that's why I'm like, how did this many ship if you couldn't even get the parts to make them and they couldn't stay in stock at retail? Like, where were they shipping? You know, I don't know. That number just kind of stuck up. And the way they talked about it as 8 consecutive quarters, there's some trick in there. There's got to be a trick in the number.
Because it's certainly not an outright lie. It's
right. But there's some way they've got it so that they can claim it as true.
But it is misrepresenting the facts.
What one might call a lie.
A spin. You know? It's spin.
It's spin. Yeah. It is spin. Yeah. Yeah. And no explanation. And nobody, you know, of course, none of the analysts asked about that because it's very interesting and telling when you're on these calls. The analysts only care about the cloud. They don't care about anything else pretty
much.
Isn't
that interesting? Well, for Microsoft, that's not so unreasonable.
The PC market has never sold 400 million of anything in a year. The highest peak of the PC industry was 365. Like, that has never happened. So... I don't know if because of the pandemic and there was this crazy demand first with consumers and then more recently with commercial customers, PC sales shot through the roof. They even exceeded the best year ever of the PC industry. No one has ever reported that story, by the way. No analyst company has ever come out and said that this happened, but Microsoft is claiming it happened. I mean, I think they can only use, what numbers could they have? They could only have the numbers of Windows licenses that are going out the door. And maybe, listen, if they oversold Windows licenses, that tells me the next 2 years are going to be terrible for Windows because that's going to catch up with them, you know?
Deferrals, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That would make sense, though, because companies probably buy licenses by the bushel.
But, you know, Microsoft has this rich history of smoothing out revenues to Windows in particular. Remember, they used to be that $20 million a month.
In the channel. It's in the channel. Yeah.
Well, we sold a little too many this month. We'll defer some of them for, you know, quarter rather. We'll defer some for next quarter. Next quarter's a little light. We'll take some of that back. We'll kind of make the big peaks and valleys look a little smoother, you know. This is not that, you know. Like, this is, they're like, you know, we're going all in. And that's why I sort of feel, maybe that's not exactly why, but I sort of said, you know, don't you sort of feel like the bottom has to fall out for Microsoft at some point? Not that sales like fall, but rather that growth slows dramatically because eventually the pandemic kind of winds down. I don't know what we're calling this anymore, but it hasn't happened yet, you know, hasn't happened yet. I don't know. I'm confused by those numbers.
That number is confusing. It is.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear more. I would like to hear more.
Well, you know, Xbox, I mean, same thing. I don't know if you have to genuflect or whatever. But Xbox Series X and S, 2 quarters in a row, they've taken share. Okay. They are the market leader, which means they sold more than the other guys, I guess, in the US, Canada, UK, and Western Europe in this past quarter. There is news from NPD that Xbox was the best-selling console in the United States in that quarter. So that maps, you know, that's good. But then they get, you know, you get into like the, like the cloud stuff. And it's like, what are they talking about here? They don't even, they won't tell you how many Xbox Game Pass subscribers there are, but they will tell you how many hours they played, roughly billions. Mm-hmm. They were billions of hours played, up 45% year over year. 10 million people, this is the only hard number we got, have streamed games via Xbox Cloud Gaming. To be clear, Xbox Cloud Gaming is a feature of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, which is the most expensive version of that subscription. And that's the number we got. We just got the little subset. Like, not every person who's an Xbox Game Pass Ultimate subscriber necessarily streams games, but 10 million of them have. Mm-hmm. And we didn't even get a hard number of the number of titles. I mean, why can't you just tell me how anyone could go and count? But there were hundreds of titles in Xbox Game Pass. And it is another one of those, duh, like, obviously, more games from third-party publishers than ever before. That should always be true, right? Is there going to be a quarter in the future where there are fewer? It should always grow, right? Some of this stuff is just amazing to me.
Tell that to Netflix. So big.
Well, yeah, Netflix, you know. That's a saturated market. I mean, this is,
yes,
you know, where Xbox Game Pass is now is back when Netflix kind of still had a DVD business, you know. Actually, it's exactly like that, right? Because we still have a DVD business with consoles or whatever discs they're using. Anyway, Surface, non-event. Revenues are up 13%. That's good. But then Amy Hood said lower than expected, right? And they're expecting similar results this
expected quarter. Or hoped.
Yeah, expected, I guess.
Planned. Said,
but yeah.
Yeah, like we built them, but nobody bought them.
Well, so I think, one of the hard things with some of these comparables is you have to think about what was going on with that product line the year before, right? Mm-hmm. So this year, Microsoft had a major product launch in the fall. So that holiday quarter and this next quarter, the one we're talking about now, should be significantly better than the quarters a year earlier because there weren't significant product updates at that time. So the fact that service revenues were only up 13% is actually not great. And I think it makes Amy Hood's comment make sense because that is lower than expected. Yeah. I would expect that to be over 20%, you know?
Yeah. Component
because honestly, the products are great. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Okay,
that's true. Yeah, that could be.
Supply chain is the answer to every question.
I know, but they didn't even say it. They could have said that. Yeah. They could have said, you know, we had supply chain issues. Then everyone would nod their head and not ask any questions.
Or you could pull a Google and blame the war in Ukraine.
You could.
It's all the fault of Russia. Russian.
Yeah. I mean, usually those Russian guys are clicking on ads. And, well, what's going on?
That was the most feeble excuse I've ever heard.
Yeah.
For a dwindling ad business.
Yeah.
But it okay. So exaggeration aside...
they still made a lot of money.
It's still a pretty good quarter. It is interesting that cloud is becoming basically their business, right?
Mary Jo mentioned the three businesses that Microsoft has, right? The two biggest are the two cloud-oriented businesses. Yeah. I mean, they really have become that thing they've been marketing themselves as for a long time. Yeah. And then as far as just like numbers, I mean, my God, $16.7 billion in net income on revenues of almost $50 billion. In a single quarter, you know, revenues up double digits, 18% year over year. It's, you know, we can quibble, I guess. I mean, I kind of wish the parts of the company I cared about were doing better or whatever. But, you know,
what parts do you care about, Paul?
I care about more personal computing. More personal. I don't know, I'm sorry. If it's not obvious, like Windows, Xbox, Surface. I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah,
but and it's the smallest business. It's not small. But
well, that's because we're old Microsoft guys.
That's true.
You know,
that's
but you're future looking. You're young at heart.
I'm modern.
You're modern.
Modern yet old.
But Paul and I are still back in the, you know, 19th, what is it, the 20th century when Microsoft was a Windows, Xbox.
Well,
Xbox
had a bunch of middle-aged white guys at the Windows 8, Windows 95 launch dancing on stage.
I remember that.
Awkward and horrible. Lots of elbows.
Start me up.
it's not that company anymore.
No.
No.
Nope.
It is not.
Again, not a bad thing. In fact, if you want to be a successful company in the 2020s, it's probably a good thing.
It is.
Although Xbox is still an important...
It's great for Microsoft. It's great for shareholders.
Did they talk about...
For us, it's like, eh.
Did they talk about, like, the Activision acquisition or anything?
No. They talked about Nuance.
That's closed. Right.
In March, right?
And it impacted the results.
Right.
Very little, though. Like,
oh, interesting.
I mean, well, but I mean, the cost of the acquisition factored into it, right?
It did. Earnings per share took a 1 cent hit because of Nuance. But starting next quarter, Nuance, you're going to hear a lot more about Nuance. And it's mostly going to be in the intelligent cloud segment. So the majority of it, I'm guessing, is going to go into the Microsoft cloud bucket. And then there'll be some pieces that are on premises. Yeah, Nuance, which is the ambient healthcare / AI company they bought for, like, what was it, $17 billion, $18 billion? That's what we're talking about here.
Do you think that'll be the new Microsoft slogan? Into the cloud bucket.
Yes, it should be.
Everything goes.
Everything in the bucket. Into the cloud bucket. Just throw it in there. It goes in there.
I want to take a little break because we have more to say, I know, but I want to take a little time out so we can welcome a brand new sponsor to the show, Tanium. I don't know, have you at all heard about Tanium?
Yes.
You know, yes. Mary Jo, because you're all about the enterprise, you know about it. It is a upstart, but I think super successful, super interesting a company that unites the ops team and the security teams in one platform. It's Tanium's position that the industry's approach to cybersecurity has a fundamental flaw. IT management and security point tools offer only a small piece of the solution needed to protect your environment. And many of them promise they can stop all breaches when, you know, it's obviously not true. They can't. Really, you need a holistic point of view on all this. Making decisions based on stale data, trying to defend your critical assets from cyber attacks with tools that don't even talk to each other is no way for IT teams to navigate today's attack surface. It's time for something different. It's time for Tanium. Time for a convergence of tools, endpoints, IT ops, and security under one umbrella. Tanium has solutions for government entities, education, financial services, retail, and healthcare. These sectors can trust Tanium solutions for every workflow that relies on endpoint data. And I'll just give you kind of a checklist of things. You know, we can't give you a chart on a podcast, but I can give you the checklist. Asset discovery and inventory. Asset discovery and inventory. If you got endpoints, right, you need to know what you own. You can track down with Tanium every asset you own instantaneously. Risk and compliance management. Fix and find vulnerabilities at scale like that in seconds. They have threat hunting, which will help you hunt for sophisticated adversaries in real time. And that's really fun to play with, by the way. That's so cool. Of course, for endpoints, you need client management. You can automate operations, everything from discovery, as we mentioned, to management. If you've got sensitive data and what business does not, you can do sensitive data monitoring. Index it, monitor it globally in seconds. Notice the speed is a big part of what Tanium offers. Tanium protects organizations where other endpoint management and security providers have just failed. One platform. Tanium identifies where all your data is across your entire IT estate, patches every device you own in seconds. And these days with 0 days, you may only have seconds, implements critical security controls, and all from a single pane of glass. You'll find a lot of testimonials on the Tanium website, T-A-N-I-U-M, tanium.com/twit. But I'll give you one from Kevin Bush. He's vice president of IT at Ring Power Corp. He says, quote, Tanium brings visibility to one screen for our whole team. If you don't have that kind of visibility, you're not going to be able to sleep at night. Is that why? That's Kevin Bush. Thank you, Kevin, for that. With real-time data comes real-time impact. If you're ready to unite operations and security teams with a single source of truth and confidently protect your organization from cyber threats, it's time you met Tanium. To learn more, visit tanium.com/twit. That's tanium.com/twit. No more silos. I want a bumper sticker that says that. No more silos. We thank Tanium so much. They're brand new to the show.
Can I add a Tanium related tip right now?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. What is happening?
So Paul and I have a friend who used to work at Microsoft who joined Tanium about a year ago, Michael Niehaus.
Oh, yeah.
And he does a blog, if anybody cares about Windows, called Out of Office Hours. It's Oof Hours, O-O-F, hours.com.
I love it.
And he still talks a lot about Windows there, and he gives tips and tricks about things you can do with Windows 11, like his latest post, customizing the Windows 11 22H2 start menu layout. He does a lot of stuff like that. We know him from Microsoft, but now he's with Tanium.
Nice.
Yeah.
I remember him.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tanium. Nice get. Nice new sponsor to add to our pelts on the wall.
Tell all advertisers we do not skin you and put you on the wall. Yeah. That would be a bad.
But if we did, we wouldn't publicly display it.
We would never tell you. Of course not. So on with the show. I can't remember where we left off.
I think we finished the earnings, right?
All right. Yeah. Everything you needed to know. And I love, Paul, your stat that Google's ad business alone.
I know.
Yeah.
Is bigger.
Well, remember, like the Apple's iPhone business. Apple's going to release their latest earnings on Thursday, I think, tomorrow. The iPhone is by itself bigger than everything that Microsoft does. And that's, at least the iPhone is a product. You know, real people are buying it. It's a big business. When you hear something like advertising, it's like, oh, really?
I know.
It's just depressing.
I know.
Yeah.
But look at the numbers. I mean,
I know.
And honestly, the reason Twitter to, you know, pull in this other huge story, which we'll be talking about for 4 hours after this show. Mm-hmm. the reason that Twitter was in play and has been in play for years, right? They've been looking for buyers for years, is they just cannot compete with Facebook and Google. With online ads.
That's right. They've always been a weird, distant number three, and it's unclear why. It seems like Twitter is fairly influential, but they, as a business, it's never really...
It's an outsized influence, mostly because, you know, media types hang out there. Elon's going to lose his shirt. I mean, I think that's pretty clear. That's what the stock market's saying. That's why Tesla's stock is down so much.
I don't think he cares.
When you're the richest man in the world, you got one other shirt.
You really got
more than one shirt.
Why would you have it? Why didn't get this money not to spend it, Leo?
Aww. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. What are you doing? Dousing your cat with water?
No, getting some water.
I had to throw him out. When we were...
Sriracha's out today.
Do you have a squirt bottle? Do you know about the squirt bottle method?
Except it doesn't deter him. He just gets madder.
I just told Mary Jo this morning... Our cats wake us up in the morning. We don't let our cats in the bedroom because they're so disruptive. But what they do now is in the morning, they want to get fed, even though their bowl is full of food. And they sit outside our bedroom door and they're like, wah, wah, wah. Yep. And I want to keep a squirt bottle next to the door. Just run out there like a bandit, and like, then I'm scurrying away. And I just yell at them.
It's the same thing. Lisa had a terrible night's sleep last night because we're having the house painted and it's making the cats nuts.
Oh, yeah.
So they're even more skittish. Than usual.
Yeah.
And then meowing in the middle of the night loudly.
That's the worst.
Oh, it's awful. But we love them. We love our little furry friends.
They're our pets.
Yeah. They're our kids.
I would never take my fingers around its little neck and, you know, shake it vociferously or anything. I would never.
He hasn't killed them yet, Mary Jo.
No, we've had cats for a long time. But I just don't understand. We do get up and we fed them. You know, we're reading the paper in the morning, and then from some random place, I don't know where they're in the house, this is in the back nine somewhere, you hear like, what are you doing? Like, what?
Paul, are the cats yours or are they really Stephanie's?
No, they're both of ours, but they're equal opportunity.
I'm very clear with Lisa. I love cats. We can have cats, but they're your cats. They're not.
No, the cats will always choose Stephanie if there's one and that's the choice. But
right.
Both of them have opportunities with me every day. One of them sits by the stairs waiting for me to go down the stairs so she can be petted. And one sits on the couch.
Or trips you as you go down.
Oh, yeah. No, she does. Yeah. This is every. Where's the most dangerous place? Yeah, right there under my feet. Smart. Yeah, every day.
Yep.
All right. Not that we haven't been, but let's talk more about Windows, shall we?
Yeah.
Yes. Sure. Speaking of hard numbers. AdDuplex, as we know, every month comes out with this kind of usage report. It was Windows 10 for a long time. Now it's Windows 10 and 11. Last month, you might remember, Windows 11 usage growth slowed dramatically. This month, it slowed even further. They, according to AdDuplex, went from 19.4% usage overall, you know, all versions of Windows 10 and 11, to 19.7% in April. So, you know, using Microsoft language, there are more people using Windows 11 now than ever before. We're seeing a lot of engagement with that upgrade. Let me tell you,
it's an easy upgrade. Until Windows 12.
Yeah. You should think about, if you're a business, this is the time. Get in early. It's where all the action is. So, yeah.
But again, what does AdDuplex measure? Mostly consumer retail, right? Like, commercial.
Yep.
Yeah. And Microsoft kept saying yesterday, commercial is where all the growth is, right? So.
Yeah. But again, you know, I always wonder about this stuff. You know, one of the things that Microsoft didn't talk about in their earnings a lot was consumer PC sales or consumer Windows. There were no numbers at all. And I have to think that's because it fell off the cliff. And maybe that's what we're seeing here, right?
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
And it seems so early for that, you know? But I also think, you know, and I think of my wife all the time, because I remember one time going up and looking at her computer and she had this window slid off to the bottom corner of the screen. And I said, "What's that?" And she said, "Oh, it's some they're trying to get me to do something." And I clicked on it and pulled it up, and it was, "You need to restart your PC right now. You have really serious security problems." Like, you know, sometimes you should just listen. You know, sometimes
I don't know. They just want me to do something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people might see this Windows 11 upgrade and think, you know, I have this thing in the back of my head that Windows upgrades don't always go well, and maybe I should not even think about this.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing for them to advertise because I think for most people it's a bad connotation, but Windows 11 is just another version of Windows 10. You'll notice it because it looks a little different, but I mean, as far as the, you know, compatibility with applications and drivers, it's the same thing. So you're not really going to run into any issues there. And
so
especially if you don't install it, I guess. Yep.
This isn't in the notes, but I have a question from the Discord for you, Paul.
For me? Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, this past week was preview releases for Windows patches, right? That are things that are going to show up on Patch Tuesday. So Wizardling is running Windows 10 still. And he said after he installed this week's preview on Windows 10, there's some crippling Windows Explorer memory leak that he encountered. Yep. Afterwards.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
So you know anything about this or what the plan is to try to fix this?
Only that it's happened. I've heard that too.
Yeah.
I'm kind of compulsive when it comes to this stuff. I understand why he installed it. If you go to Windows Update, I do this with, you know, I use computers every day, but then there are these computers they don't use that often. And so I'll plug them in sometimes, throw it onto Windows Update, see what's there. And there'll always be that optional thing. It's displayed a little differently in Windows 10 and Windows 11, but I always click on it, download and install, you know. And I've never personally been bitten by it, but this one, that's why they're previewing it, right? I mean, this is the point of it.
Yeah.
I don't feel they do a good enough job of saying, hey, are you sure? Because this is, you know, this might not be ready for prime time.
Listen to what he just said. Man, Windows Explorer was maxing RAM, and I literally took nearly a half hour to restart Windows without powering off and on.
Right. Yeah, no, he's it's not. Bad. I wonder, someone emailed me about this exact thing, exactly the same problem.
Yeah.
In fact, I think there's a guy in our forums who has the same problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a preview.
I think I've seen it on Reddit as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Buyers beware. Testers beware of that one.
I remember that. And there's all these theories about who is to blame. It might be Intel-only computers.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. It's not universal,
Maybe. We're still fog of war here, but that's one of the theories.
Yeah. Wizardling says, okay, at least I'm not alone. Cool.
Yep.
Well, that doesn't help too much, but...
He's on an i5, 8th generation.
Yeah.
So...
Sorry.
He just made it in, by the way. Unlike those people at the
Insider
channel. I guess they just held the door open a little longer for them.
What an astonishing bit of perfection from those guys.
Did people discover it because they saw the little bug?
Yeah. Oh, of course. Are you kidding me? This is, you can't do this online. The whole world's going to notice this.
Yeah. You know? Maybe that's why Microsoft put that bug in.
Just to see if anybody was really awake. You guys awake out there?
It's just, it's so perfect. It's just so perfect.
We don't recommend you do this, but as Windows insiders, we allow
we literally do everything we can to prevent it. But we work at Microsoft. I mean,
we can do what we want.
Come on.
We're the masters of the universe.
Is it there in 11? I thought I saw in the release notes that they fixed a memory leak in there in Windows 11.
No. Is it?
I don't know if it's the same one or not.
Well, they're doing that all the time.
Sure. I know. They are. Right.
I guess
I could upgrade to Windows 11.
Guys just used .NET, you wouldn't have this problem. But, you know, let's not worry about that. anyhow.
Is that true? Yeah. Are there no memory leaks in .NET?
No, it's not really true. But no. Is it garbage collected,
C-sharp?
Of course. Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is.
That's why.
This is the thing. So, you know, Microsoft, back when they did Windows 8, could have made their new environment, app environment, based on .NET, and they didn't. Mm. And it's based on COM. And C++ under the covers. And that's, you know, Metro became Store Apps, became Universal Apps, became Store Apps, whatever we're calling them now. What do you call them? App, SDK apps, you know.
Mm-hmm. WinUI.
WinUI. This stuff could have all been .NET based. It would have been so perfect.
So C++, if you want memory, it's on you to allocate it and deallocate it. There's no automated. So if you don't deallocate it after you're done with it, and it'll just build up and build up, and that's
I would say programs written in languages like C and C++, the number one issue is probably this very problem.
A buffer overflow is the number one issue. This is the number two issue.
Okay. But, you know,
they're related. But
I was going to say it falls into the same bucket, right? Like, you know, there's a reason we have managed code languages.
Buffer overflow usually happens because you use something you've deallocated. A memory leak happens because you forget to deallocate. Mm. So
they're the
cases,
peanut butter and jelly of
they go together.
Unmanaged language issues.
They're the soup and sandwich of flaws. Yeah.
Yeah, they're cheap and easy to attain. yep. Sorry. It will never stop bothering me. Anyhow, what else we got?
No, that's actually a really interesting point.
Yeah, frankly. No, I'm in the middle of going through that history now, and it really bothers me. They, you know, that Windows team had a not invented here kind of mentality.
Did they do it? Oh, it was that? We want to preserve legacy?
No, they weren't preserving any legacy. They designed something from scratch.
Just say, going forward, we will use .NET and nothing but.
That's what they should have done.
Yeah.
They did not. So I just... Listen, that team tried to replace everything. They tried to get rid of the start button. They tried to get rid of the file system. they were going to replace everything, you know?
Yeah. One of our dozers in the Discord, Iridescent.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Iridescent Ox says, you can do your own memory management with .NET, but you have to use the keyword unsafe.
Right. Perfect. Perfect.
Just
by the way,
to remind you.
Why?
I didn't realize that. Number one problem we talk about on Security Now, really, still to this day, all those 0 days, almost always buffer overflow memory leak related.
I'm semi-joking about this. You got to remember that the reason those things are still issues is because the low-level stuff in any platform will be written in those languages. You're not going to write Windows in .NET, right? The core of the underlying stuff is always going to be C++, assembly language, whatever. I mean, that's just the reality of it. So you build frameworks on top of that. You make applications.
How many flaws did they patch on Tuesday? 238?
Yeah, sure. No, I know. You're not
Some of those are not in legacy code. Some of those stuff.
C Sharp, as an example, like the language, I'm not going to get the year right, but C Sharp was written in C++, right? Because it didn't exist when it first came out. And it probably wasn't until 2013, 14, when they did the Roslyn version of the compiler, that they were able to build C Sharp with C Sharp. Like, that's kind of a big milestone, right? Mm-hmm. But these things have overhead. And you know, .NET as a framework, managed code framework, has a little bit of overhead. In 2001, that was a big deal. I would say in 2020, 2022.
Yeah. There is still a contingent of people. I think Steve Gibson's among them because he writes in assembly language, who think garbage collection is the work of the devil.
Is for, yes, okay. Well, fair enough. I can't argue with Steve Gibson.
Well, he's writing in assembler. So he doesn't even have Malik.
I haven't talked to him in a few years, but the last time I talked to him, he was talking about moving to ARM assembler, by the way.
Really? Yeah,
I don't know if that ever
Interesting.
Happened.
Interesting.
Yes. Because the world is moving ARM, right? I mean,
well, that's the problem. When you write in assembly, you're writing to the hardware.
To the hardware.
As close as you can. You don't write portable code. That's not.
Anyway, I don't know how Explorer in Windows is no doubt a hybrid application that has C, C++ assembler, and well, not managed code, but probably WinRT elements to it. I don't know how, I don't, Windows 10, Windows 11, I have no idea what it's written in, but I suspect that part of it might be its ties to the low levels of the operating system. I'm sure memory leak issues are tied to that kind of stuff. It's, but you don't really, that doesn't happen a lot in end user applications these days. That's kind of rare, you know, I would think in Windows.
I'll have to look, but I get the sense that, that's not that unusual, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm trying to, well, it should, it, I think we can all agree it should not, never happen, but I don't know. I don't know how, look, the problem is Windows is a patchwork quilt of different technologies.
Oh, right.
So you could pop up some interface, it's a web app. You could pop up another interface, it's WinRT. This one's .NET. This one's C++ and Win32. You know, it's just, sometimes it's the interactions between these things that cause problems, you know. And then individual applications are, could be hybrid. I'm not positive, but I would bet money that Windows Explorer is a hybrid mess of things from different eras, for sure.
Hybrid mess. Yep, well, that's my operating system.
Or as Bill Gates
system.
Might call it, the magic of software.
The magic. The magic. Yeah.
The magic of...
I think everybody should have an intensity slide. Yours is always to the right.
It's on one edge of the slide, either way.
I saw this in their notes, and I'm like, what the heck is an intensity slide?
So it's just a slider. I'm sorry. That was a typo in my book.
Okay.
So if you think about what HDR is, HDR is something that gives the colors pop. It's typically used in like movies, right, is a big thing. Mm-hmm. And then in video games, right? Windows 11 and 10 support HDR displays. They do auto HDR. Yeah. They have all these different things. The problem is, like, sometimes HDR can be too much or too little, you know, depending on your needs or wants. And so now they have added to the Xbox Game Bar, which, by the way, speaking of an interface that could come up on top of other things, I don't know how that's written either, but I mean, it's a newer interface. It's probably written in something semi-modern. Is going to allow you to change the value, the amount of intensity that you see in the colors, so you can make it to your liking. I think that's a good idea because it's doing HDR automatically, but it may be a jarring experience. So they're kind of toning down the jarring or toning it up. It's up to you. You can adjust it if you want. That's a good idea. I've always wanted that kind of thing. I've never understood why it's scary.
You see my eyes glazing over? Yeah. I'm like, oh, man. Talk about incremental features. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, it's funny.
Hold on. I have an even more incremental feature.
Oh, good. All right.
Oh, good.
Fire when ready. Go ahead.
Bring it.
Yeah. So you thought that was bad. At least this is one you might want to see. So I think we all know, or hopefully we know, that when Windows 11 came out, one of the many regressions was that what is now called widgets no longer supported that temperature and weather display right on the taskbar. A lot of people complained, and so Microsoft responded by adding it back. But what they didn't do was give you the temperature information that you used to see in Windows 10. It was just a little weather indication. Like you could see a little cloud or a sun or something. So they actually shipped this feature in stable on Patch Tuesday. So one of the little things they shipped was it will now display the temperature. And because it's Microsoft, not consistently with the way it looks in Windows 10, God forbid, it's, I don't know what you call it, it's like it's an overlay on top of the icon instead of being next to the icon. Because it's still just an icon. It's not a a bigger, you know what I mean? It only occupies the amount of space an icon can occupy.
But does it have an intensity slider?
I just am like, who actually cares? Does anyone?
Well, we're at peak Windows, so now
we are. Yeah. This is what we have now, right? Yep, this is what.
Listen, this is way more interesting to me than that dynamic stuff we were going over earlier.
Hey, man,
boy.
Hey, you're. This is why you're in the old era, and you're not a modern man.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Just saying.
I'm okay with it. All right. So we talked earlier about language. This is my favorite version of Microsoft language in the past week. And it did not come from the earnings. Microsoft has ceaselessly promoted, and I mean this, this is the third post in a row that they've made about how easy it was for Microsoft to roll out Windows 11 to its own users.
Oh, now, hallelujah.
Forgetting for a moment that Microsoft is the company that made Windows 11. And also forgetting the reality that Windows 11 is just Windows 10 and we're just upgrading from one version to another. Something we did without any news whatsoever. Well, actually, there was news sometime, from time to time. But we've done for years and years. Twice a year, right? For many years. No, I can't say that. It did generate news sometimes. But whatever. We didn't make a big deal of it. Microsoft is making a really big deal of this. Because remember, they want to convince businesses to do the same thing. And they're like, look, we did it. How hard could it be? But this is the language. I love this. I love this. This guy, I don't know who he is. I shouldn't make fun of him. But Lucas Velesh says, Microsoft's upgrade to Windows 11 is largely considered the smoothest we've ever had. Largely considered?
By many people on both sides.
Hold on a second. I'm sorry. You should be able to categorically
largely
say that this is the smoothest we've ever had. You're saying this suggests there are people at Microsoft who don't believe this is the smoothest upgrade you've ever had.
There are doubting Thomases, but largely, by and large, everyone.
Yeah, the other little tidbit that came out, I actually didn't put this in my article, but I'll just highlight this because I find it humorous. They gave Microsoft employees the opportunity to upgrade to this thing early before they rolled it out to everyone automatically. And almost no one chose to do it. they were actually surprised by the lack of interest in making this happen early. So that didn't really happen. Anyway.
Business users, why do you want to disrupt your world? Like, why?
Well, and you understand why Microsoft wants you to.
Yeah.
Of course.
But their users need to be productive.
Is this aimed at the doofus CEO who will then bring it to his IT guys and say, you see,
look how easy this
we
was.
Should do this.
I would say to this guy, this is the reason you're in the cellar and please go back there.
No, the CEO is in the rooftop.
No, that's what he says, the IT guy.
Oh, yeah, that's
you're
right.
Like, yeah. No, just go back.
I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but it seems to me the number one complaint from IT is some nitwit executive demanding something impossible. without any understanding of the consequences.
I don't think Microsoft has convinced anyone. We have too rich of a history with Windows for anyone to be fooled by the notion that some version of Windows is going to change anyone's life. I just don't. They've moved on. They've got iPhones. They've got Google ads. They've got this, Facebook stuff. It's all good. Nobody in a position of power is hanging on every word of some Microsoft video saying, no.
Well, they could do it. 99% effective.
The engineers at Microsoft were able to do this. I mean, how hard could it be?
What is 1% of 199,000?
195,000
people. That's
is
not
it 195 people?
No.
No, it's 1,950?
Yeah, 1,950 people. It didn't go so well.
Yeah. Let's talk to those guys.
Yeah. That must
how
be
how they feeling.
Those are not in largely.
Actually, funny coincidence, those guys were all working on Windows Explorer. I don't know why there was a memory leak. It's like something went wrong there.
Oh, golly.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. All right. I think I should probably take another time out here before we get to... the biggest story of the week, Microsoft Teams.
Thank you.
Yeah. I know you're all so excited. But before we do, let me talk to you about our favorite guys and gals at IT Pro TV who are helping IT departments everywhere get upskilled, get better, get new skills. You know, we talk a lot about IT Pro TV since the very founding. It's been around for a while. We were there right there at the beginning and watched them grow, Tim and Don doing such a great job with it. And we always talk about how, as an individual getting into IT, IT Pro TV is a place to get those certs that you need, to get the training that you need. But IT Pro TV has team training, too. So if you are a busy executive or an IT leader who has a team and you would like to get them some new skills, update the current skills, this is the place to go. First of all, they're going to love it. And that's kind of important. I mean, you can say, well, you have to watch these. But if they enjoy the videos, if they enjoy the training, it makes it all much easier. You'll be glad to know 80% of users who start a video, IT Pro TV has the stats, 80% who start the video finish it. They go all the way through because it's engaging. It's fun. But more important to everybody, it's really informative. There's real meat in those videos. Yeah, you could tell your IT team, go watch that YouTube video. 15 minutes in, after smash the subscribe button, bing the bell, and all that stuff, you might get some information. IT Pro TV gets down to business immediately. With people working in the field who are smart, who are engaging, who are entertaining, who can... Most importantly, I think because they're passionate about the subject, really engage your team. You'll be giving your team the tools they need to make your business thrive. And it'll get them invested in their learning. They want to learn. We all want to learn. That's human. And because the tech industry is constantly changing and evolving, your team really needs to constantly train. There's new software releases, system upgrades, new cyber threats. Well, you listen to this show. Why would you listen to this show? Because you want to know what's new, how to keep up with what's going on. That's what IT Pro TV offers your team. The training, the perspectives, and constantly putting out more new content because it's stuff getting updated all the time. That content goes from the studio to the library in 24 hours, very fresh, steaming, piping hot into the library. 5,800 hours of fresh training in every area of IT. All the training, all the certs in one place. Microsoft, Cisco, Linux, Apple, security, cloud, soft skills too. Compliance training, all the stuff your team needs. And the dashboard that they offer for the enterprise product is great. You can manage your seats. You can assign and unassign team members. You can create subsets of users, give them assignments. Customize those assignments. You can monitor the progress. You can get usage reports so you can say, look, it's working, you know. Or assignments can be full courses or individual episodes. Every episode has a full transcript, by the way. So you can go right to the transcript, say, oh, yeah, this is the area we need to work on, and assign that. You'll get metrics like login, viewing time, tracks completed. You'll have insights into your team's viewing patterns and progress over any period of time with visual reports. So, for the individual, for the IT team, IT Pro TV is the place to go. Give your team the IT development platform they need to level up their skills and enjoy the journey. For teams of 2 to 1,000, volume discounts start at 5 seats. Go to itpro.tv/windows. And just like the individual plans, the offer code is WW30. You'll get, if you mention WW30 to your account executive, 30% off or more on a business plan. itpro.tv/windows. The offer code WW30. This is a no-brainer. Something you got to do. itpro.tv/windows. We thank them so much for their support of Windows Weekly. You support us, too, when you use that address. Make sure you add the /windows so they know you saw it here. Now we can talk about Microsoft Teams.
Unlike Microsoft in their conference call.
Did they not mention Teams?
Barely.
At all.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Odd. Very odd. I think it's because growth is slowing, but that's kind of to be expected at this point. No, the story Leo's referring to is one that's kind of crazy because up until now, the Teams app has not been in the Microsoft store. Like if you needed to get Teams, you had to go download it from Microsoft's site. So as of May, Teams will be in the store finally. There's lots of questions here. This is the Teams app for both Windows 10 and Windows 11. My biggest question is, does this signify that Microsoft is finally ready to make available the long rumored Teams 2.0 release? You know, we've heard they're rewriting Teams. It's not going to be Electron anymore. It's going to be written in WebView 2.
I don't know. Well, isn't that good, Paul? Don't you think that's better?
Yeah, okay. I was
Electron's awful.
Cynically say something like not .NET, but actually, okay, WebView 2 is
WebView 2.
Chromium-based.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's an idea, though.
We don't know, though.
So it's essentially their, Microsoft's version of Electron.
Kind of.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. Right?
So maybe it's not better. I don't know.
Yeah. The Teams app had been in the store once. A version of Teams for Windows 10 and S mode was in the store at one point. Then Microsoft pulled it. And ever since then, if somebody was looking for Teams, you say, yeah, go download it from Microsoft's site. Is it in the store? No. But starting next month, it will be.
Well, that's interesting. So if you're in S mode, you can't use Teams?
No. So I don't know. Now, is anybody even using S mode anymore is a good question. But
they still sell it.
Some people still. They do. They still
sell
it.
I had a caller on the radio show call me and said, I can't install Chrome. Why not?
Yeah.
And I said,
the first thing you tell anyone is
turn it off.
Just get rid of S mode and upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's not what Microsoft wants to say, is it?
Listen, Microsoft wants you to say lots of things. I wouldn't worry too much.
S mode doesn't make sense now that you don't have to use only store apps on Windows, right? Like it kind of made a little bit of sense for some slice of users, but now there's no reason. Why would you use S mode?
Right.
Heart in the right place. What you did was wrong.
Bad execution. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, a couple questions about this. This Teams client that's in the store, is this going to be consumer and business?
No. So it's so here's another point that is worth highlighting. On Windows 10, Teams is for the Teams app is for consumer, school, and business. On Windows 11, it's the app for school and business because Windows a chat client for Teams that's for consumers that's pinned to your taskbar when you first install Windows 11. So it's not for consumers on Windows 11, but it is for businesses and schools.
So I wish in a way there was an audience I could look at and then they could raise their hands if they've done this, because I feel like this is something we've all done. Right. And that's this. I get, review computers, the different computers coming and going. I have this set of things that I install again and again. One of those things is Teams. Like you said, you have to go to the web. And so type into the search, the bar, download Microsoft Teams. It goes exactly to the page on the Microsoft website I need. I'm on autopilot. I click the download Teams button. It gets down there in my downloads folder. I'm doing other stuff. And I finally go to install it. And it says, oh, you don't have to install this. You already have this thing on your computer. And that's because when you go back to the Microsoft Teams for Windows desktop page, it says Teams for Home or Small Business is the first link. And the second one, which is the one I want, is Teams for Work or School. I've done that. I've done that like a dozen times. I can't be the only one. Like, it's the most poorly designed. Anyway, whatever. That's just a website, and I'm an idiot. But but seriously, how can we have one client?
Yeah.
When's that going to happen?
Yeah, we don't know. You know what? We don't know. And it's crazy because this thing has been rumored, Teams 2.0, for like years at this point, right?
Right. I mean, from the beginning that we heard there was going to be a consumer thing. Yeah. Well, remember in the early days, it was this talk of federation with Skype, right?
Yeah.
That we'll be able to access our Skype contacts from within Teams, which is the same thing as what we're talking about. We just changed the name of the consumer app. But I mean, really what I want is I have a handful of people. Mary Jo is one of them. Raphael's another one who I communicate with on Skype in this case. And, it'd be nice if there was just one app. I mean, for that kind of stuff. And there isn't.
There isn't. No. Okay. It's confusing how they did this. Very confusing. But it's good that it's finally coming to the store.
right.
As of May, some point in May, according to the roadmap.
Yeah. Well, in related and even less interesting news, Microsoft this past week released a beta version of Teams for the Mac that is optimized for Apple Silicon Maps, right?
Wow, there's really no reason not to use it.
Well, Yeah. I mean, look, my experience with Apple Silicon Macs is that most things run fine, even if they were designed for Intel. Yeah. The one exception, by the way, was OneDrive, and it took them over a year to finally get that up. But that's out. So the new OneDrive client for the Mac is actually a native M1 Apple Silicon app. So that's great. This particular app, I don't think it matters too much. But they say it uses 50% less power during meetings, which is how much less power I use during meetings.
It was just a study. Yeah. So did you see that? Like 40% of online meeting users are disengaged.
The only reason
That's kind of a low number.
I know. I think it's much higher.
Here's the thing. This is another one. I wish there was people out there that could raise their hands. So we've all been in these meetings, right? We're in a meeting. It's like a work meeting. You're online. You're in Teams or whatever. Zoom does better. And you're not engaged because you're bored to death. Like almost nothing we talk about has anything to do with me. I just have to sit there and kind of take it. But I know in the back of my head, at some point, and it will be some person who knows I'm totally zoned out. They'll be like, Paul, what do you think about that? And then you're like, fluffing out his, I'm sorry, what happened? So there's a thing in the back of your brain. You have to be constantly.
Oh, that's awful.
Paying attention a little bit, right?
Yeah.
You have to, because otherwise you just look like a jerk.
You say, you know? It's a great idea.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. Yeah, 100%. I just wish I could do it. Oh, that would be a huge mistake.
Yeah, don't say that, because you will do it.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yep.
So, hallelujah, I can finally use Teams on my... Well, I could always use...
No, you could always... It doesn't just really change
I really
anything.
Was looking for reasons not to.
Oh, another way to get Teams?
Another way.
Another way to wonder which version of Teams I'm getting?
And then when the M1 first came out, I think a lot of us were like, oh, I don't want to sully my pure M1
That's right.
with any Intel code.
Jeez. Wow. Well, except for one thing, you got to get life. You know, life has to go on, and you got to get work done. Yeah. Although it's getting easier, I would say today. I mean,
now I don't care. That's the irony, right? Yeah. It's easy now because almost everything's M1 compatible.
I mean, Leo, coming from the Windows world, we know exactly what you're talking about. Windows and ARM is awesome, and it runs everything.
Oh,
so it's great.
Lordy.
It's like you've gone from a country back road to a super highway with no cars on it. Is the fantasy world that I live in, and I wish. Yeah. I wish it was like that.
Other people did too.
How about an update on HoloLens? We haven't done that in a while.
I forgot about HoloLens.
Yeah, really? Did you?
There's been a lot of good news for HoloLens this year. one of them was an internal Microsoft email linked, I think, to Business Insider, if I remember correctly, that basically said, you know, we're going to get a lot of negative feedback on this thing.
I saw that.
Kind of not going to go well.
Pre-warning. You know, kind of lowering expectations ahead of time.
Yeah. Oh, well, they haven't been lowered enough because the U.S. Pentagon has examined this waste of money and determined that there is a chance it could end up wasting up to $21.88 billion in taxpayer funds.
What? Our money?
Fielding a system that soldiers do not want to use or does not work as intended.
Oh, boy.
So... now that's a worst case scenario. It might only waste, you know, $10 billion. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, lose like sleep over this yet. But look,
well, isn't it? Is it $100 billion contract?
That's the worth of the contract.
Oh no, what is the contract worth?
I think it's $22 billion, right?
So they're just saying the whole thing
over 10 years.
The whole thing is a utter waste. It's an utter waste.
Maybe I'm
so as I joked on Twitter today, it's not just a waste of time; it's also a waste of money. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. I've never understood this. And Microsoft says
it was. It was a $22 billion contract. That's hysterical.
It's a transformational platform, Leo.
So what of the $21.8 billion wasted, that leaves $200 million that was spent well.
Yeah, you're right. Because actually, as it turns out, there's always like 1 or 2% of people that love this.
There's some soldier out there. This is great.
Just running around in a circle, blowing up imaginary enemies. Just loving it.
I love it. It's hysterical.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. Yep. This is bad. I think it's going to be really interesting to watch how Microsoft positions HoloLens moving forward, which my guess is just for industrial use, right?
Yeah. And it's been successful in those markets.
It has. Like they've done well with it in like retail and healthcare. They've got markets where it's made inroads. But it's not going to be a general purpose platform. It's not going to be, at least as it stands now, going to be big in the military. I mean, I kind of would guess this is the end of them trying to sell anything like this into the military.
I think Satya Nadella may get his day in Congress if he keeps this up.
Yeah.
I mean, aren't they going to, isn't Congress going to say, hey, you know, what happened? Why did we spend
money? Or do they just junk the contract and say, we cashed the check,
guys. I don't know.
Oh, since it is over 10 years, it's really only wasting $2.18 billion a year.
That's so, like three or four toilets.
No big deal.
It's nothing. Nothing.
It's not a big deal.
Nothing.
Yeah. But you know what's crazy? I keep looking at the job site, and they're still hiring for AR/VR like mad. So they still have plans to do things in this space. Some of it in commercials, some of it maybe in consumer, if that rumor about them working with Samsung on a consumer device is true, right?
Yes,
so they're not throwing in the towel.
Okay. I it's hard to know what their plans are. I wouldn't be surprised to discover if this wasn't some combination of those rumors, which we sort of know to be true, where a bunch of those people have left and they need to be replaced. And this contract is super important. So they may be hired just for this, you know, to kind of solve the issues that the Army is having and make it more viable going forward.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Maybe.
It's hard to escape bad news like this, so it's tough.
Yeah.
One of the commenters on your site, Paul, said that the Army Chief of Staff is the guy who's really pushing this.
I thought you said one of the Commodores, which I thought was such an awesome way to describe this.
Not Lionel Richie, the other one.
The Commodores.
Commenters. I'm sorry, my T's were getting soft.
It's okay, I got lost. You said Commodores, and my head started thinking about Amiga.
Oh, God.
Chorus.
Sorry, one of the commenters on my site said what?
Said the Army Chief of Staff is the one in love with this.
The one behind it.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Well, I think, look, in the government in general, and I'm sure in the military as well, there is this understandable desire to modernize and latch onto new technology. And, you know, we were kind of joking about how no C-level executive in any company in their right mind would ever watch a Windows 11 ad on TV and come back to work and direct, you know, IT to get going on this as quick as possible. But I bet they fall for this kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And the government, you know, the decision makers in these organizations are really no different. I mean, they have slightly different aims, I guess, but they have a lot more money to work with, too, in many cases. So, I don't know.
Build is live. Build is live.
Build registration. Yeah.
Registration is live.
This is going to be cheaper than ever, folks. It's so inexpensive now.
Is it?
Yeah, because it's not.
Because you're not.
You don't have to go to
a conference.
Yeah.
But you know what was kind of ironic? Yesterday when registration opened, in past years when build registration opens, all you see on Twitter are people complaining about
they can't get in.
Site crash, couldn't get a hotel, couldn't register. Right. So yesterday I registered like really smoothly and then the site couldn't be open the entire day. I'm like, okay. Guys, I don't know. It seems like you know how to build these kind of platforms. You've got like some cloud expertise in house. Like, what is happening here? But you know what? In the end, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because none of the sessions are up yet. That's nothing has been posted session wise, right? You could see who the speakers are from Microsoft, and there's no surprises in that list, right? It's all the same people who always speak.
One little surprise: Jeff Tepper.
Who?
Jeff Tepper.
I was Tepper. Yeah.
His title, his official title is Corporate Vice President of Teams, OneDrive, and SharePoint.
Yes. It's been that for a while.
I never knew that. That's very specific. Yep.
It is very specific. Okay. Yep. Yeah. So, if you look at the speaker list, you can kind of guess, like, we're going to hear a lot about developer tools for the cloud. We're going to hear a lot about AI. We're going to hear about Teams, and Teams is a development platform. I hope we hear about Meta OS, my infamous thing I keep talking about.
Sure. I hope we get more whales and lunar modules and other things like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll definitely be like the Teams for Mesh thing, right? Which is those avatars, no legs, as we've talked about many a time.
So if you're interested in client development, Kevin Gallo. Again,
yep, right? Which is good. At least he's there, right?
Yeah, he's
and
there.
And Amanda Silver.
Right, that's a good point.
Yeah, Amanda Silver, Visual Studio and GitHub and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, she's
stuff,
fantastic,
right?
Actually. Yep.
She is. Yep. 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 So, yeah.
Looks, and when is the, this is May, end of May?
Yeah, May 24th to 26th. Right.
Okay. Good. Cool.
Good. Good, good, good.
Let's do a quick Xbox segment because Mary Jo does, there's not enough beer in the world.
There isn't really.
I'll get you yet, pretty. Yeah, so I mentioned this earlier, actually. So the MPD group had come out. They study a lot of things, but usage, sales, et cetera, in the United States specifically. So according to them, March 2022 was a record month for Xbox hardware sales, also dollar sales, so unit and dollar sales, beating the previous records from March 2011, go figure, a long time ago. And March 2014 for revenue. I thought they were the best selling console. I believe they were the best selling console. I don't actually see that here, but I believe they were. And best selling hardware platform in March 2022. That's interesting. I think it's tied in part to the fact that the Xbox Series X in particular was actually available for sale. Like Leo got one, right? I mean,
yeah,
not a coincidence.
At Walmart, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so this, I don't know what happened, but there was a window of time, a month or so, where you could actually buy this thing for the first time. And I think that's what helped.
Sure.
That window apparently is closing. So if you want
for,
say, the holidays this year, apparently we're going to have more problems.
Oh, because of the shutdown in Shanghai,
because
probably,
of the shutdown in China, yeah. Exactly. Yep, yep.
Oh, wow. Yeah, maybe that's why I can't get that laptop.
We had that little shining moment where like, hey, we're back, baby.
It's normal. Everything's normal.
Yep. And yeah, that's the way the world goes. It's going. What was the other one?
Sony. No baloney.
Yeah. So I think I linked to the wrong article. That's okay. I can tell you what the story is. So previously, remember, I think it was last week, Sony and Nintendo had agreed to stop forcing people to auto renew on subscriptions in the EU. This was something that Microsoft had previously agreed to. So they're going to be more transparent about that stuff. They're going to send you reminders. Hey, you don't seem to be using this thing. You know, you're going to pay for it again. Please don't. But now, Mike, I've lost track of this here. Okay. I'm trying to find it on my website. I should have known that was futile. Let me just find the story. I'm sorry. Where is this thing? Da, 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 da. I have completely lost track of the story. I linked to the wrong thing in the notes, and now I can't find the original. Let's just forget it. Sony's not copying Microsoft.
It's a lie.
I don't find that story. Where is that story?
What? Do you remember anything about it, Paul?
No, I just started talking about the other thing and I lost the thing I was talking about. Now I need to find it.
Welcome to Paul Town.
I found it.
Oh.
So Microsoft previously revealed that they were looking at adding ads inside of free-to-play games.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And now Sony is also they haven't announced it, but they're working with partners to do the same thing.
Well, chances are they're the same game, right? So...
Exactly.
You got to do it on both platforms.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and that makes sense. And it's I'm actually surprised this wasn't a thing already. Yeah.
Read somewhere somebody was talking about, it was one of our, might have been in the Twit forum or the Mastodon, how you can buy skins for Fortnite that are, you know, companies. You can buy Disney Plus skins.
Yeah, you can look like a NASCAR race driver as you run around.
And so it's which is a total advertisement, and it doesn't bother anybody. And people even pay for the right to wear the Disney, you know, Marvel.
It's just crazy, you know. But I'm okay with it. I'm not a big fan of ads in general. Obviously, we talk about this kind of stuff.
I don't want the game to stop. So I can watch an ad, and you know, because there's free to play games.
I feel like ads could be distracting. You're running around, you're you know, blasting enemies and stuff. And you're like, was that an ad for McDonald's?
Nobody sees
like, what was that?
We're so inured to that. We've done that. You know, that they're everywhere. Ads are everywhere on every surface. Right.
But the game is free to play. So
watch a Formula One race because they can't stop to do an ad. So it's just one continuous ad, right?
That's right.
Every turn, every, you know, everywhere, there's stuff on the walls everywhere. All the suits. Look at the suits. They got 800 logos on them.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, an interesting, somebody noted this, and I don't know what.
We're not wearing logos. Is that a thing?
It's the new Twit plan. We're going to have your Twit blazer in the mail any minute now. Yep.
What about tattoos? Twit tattoos?
Sure. Sure. For the right price, I'll tattoo a McDonald's arch on my hand. I don't care. And I don't know if this means anything. I just saw somebody in passing note the on F1. I think it was the Mercedes car had an AMD logo, and for the race on Sunday, it was gone.
Oh, interesting.
Which does not usually you sign for the whole season.
Yep.
You know, and there's a lot of tech. You know, CrowdStrike's all over Mercedes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of tech companies on these. But for some reason, the AMD logo disappeared. So I'm curious what that is.
I just want to point out me forgetting, not finding the story, is a rare example of my critical nature biting me in the butt.
What's your
because
critical
instead
nature?
Because instead of just putting the title in the story, which would have made me know exactly what it was, I made a joke out of it, and I wrote, Sony can't stop copying Xbox. And so it just bit me. All I had to do was write the title of the story. I would have been like, I know exactly what this is. And instead, I'm looking at it like, why is that story about Teams loading?
That's hysterical.
Yep. So that, you know, a rare moment of comeuppance.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Rare.
Rare. A rare moment of upcomings.
Okay. Usually being sarcastic just works out.
Yeah, always.
You know, what could possibly go wrong? Yeah. All right, we are. We have the back of the book just around the corner, in which we are going to hear Paul attempt to pronounce Clipchamp, which will be a lot of fun. Always fun, always amazing. App of the week, tip of the week, enterprise pick of the week, buzzword of the week, and then we're talking beer. But first, a word from our sponsor, the Purple Teaming Platform. PlexTrack. PlexTrack is the premier cybersecurity reporting and workflow management platform that empowers teams to win the right security battles. What if you could streamline the communication across your entire security department so that every team member could do their job more efficiently? From simplified data aggregation and reporting to integrated ticketing for remediation to analytics and visualizations for board reporting, PlexTrack touches every aspect of your security management workflow. Real-time view of your security posture by bringing all your data sources together into one powerful platform where you can triage scanner results, generate powerful analytics and visualizations. You can assign remediation tasks. You can attest to your posture. You can track your progress over time. All that in one platform. One satisfied PlexTrack client said, "We see PlexTrack as part of our strategy to move quicker and be proactive. Now we have a real-time view of what we need to focus on, and I have an easy way of showing senior leadership." PlexTrack serves every aspect of the Enterprise Security Team program with features designed to improve workflow, collaboration, and communication for each role, including red team data aggregation. You can report results in half the time. Blue team remediation. You can assign remediation tasks right there on the PlexTrack platform. Track progress over time. And again, it comes up again and again. When you're communicating to the stakeholders, the C-suite, the board, you'll have powerful analytics to attest to the security posture and prioritize issues. You can tailor your attestation and communication to the needs of your team members. Continuous purple teaming assessment. You can begin purple teaming or power up your current strategy with Runbooks, the best in industry tool for test plan execution. Really, this is a tool the team will want to use, the execs will love, the boss will love. And it's just going to, PlexTrack's just going to improve your entire security engagement lifecycle by making it easy to generate security reports, to deliver them securely, to track the issues to completion straight from the platform. So security teams of all sizes and maturities can maximize efficiency and effectiveness. I want you to try it. Book a demo today. Learn more about PlexTrack and how it could support proactive security work in your organization. Because you know what? You got to be proactive. You can't be reactive. Insecurity these days. Try PlexTrack free for 1 month. See how it can change your life as a security professional. All you have to do is go to plextrack.com/twit. Claim that free month. plextrac.com/twit. T-W-I-T. We thank Plextrack so much for their support. Plextrack.com/twit. You support us when you use that URL, so please do that. The Purple Teaming Platform. Plextrack. Paul Thurrott with your tip of the week.
The latest fan of ClipChamp.
ClipChamp.
The Microsoft video editing. Here's the thing. I think we all kind of made fun of this when Microsoft announced
they bought
it. Purchasing it.
They bought
it. In fact, I think the first thing we asked was, what's a ClipChamp? Never heard of it, right? And of course, you know, for people like who've been around a while and have used Windows Movie Maker back in the day, super disappointing, the video editing tools that are built into Windows today. If you go to the Photos app, there's actually a really basic video editor built in that is really just designed. You can throw photos in it, turns into a slideshow. You can, you know, add a title and some music, really basic stuff. I have been working on some video project stuff in recent weeks, and as I've been experimenting with all kinds of different video editors, and you know, I think 2-3 weeks ago, I recommended a free product called Shotcut, which is actually very good. I mentioned that if you're on a Mac, you should just use iMovie. iMovie's amazing. And lately, I've been using Adobe Photoshop. I'm sorry, Adobe Premiere Elements.
Yeah,
which is, you know, full-featured, like DaVinci Resolve is another kind of thing like that, where, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, it is a little bit of a leap, you know, to get into it. But once you figure out what's going on, it's you know, it's full-featured. And I don't know what it just occurred to me the other day, like, hey, Microsoft has this thing. I should see how it works. And I'm thinking, I know how this is going to end up. This is going to be hilarious because it's not going to be able to do any of the things I can do in Premiere Elements. So some of the things I would want to do, for example, is like not just like basic titles, but like you create titles of your own in, say, Photoshop or in Affinity Photo with transparencies. You have like if you're putting a video on YouTube, you want that little thing that comes up and tells you to subscribe, or you know, different audio tracks. And some of those things require like green screen, like green keying. There's no way this very basic tool is ever going to do any of that. And so I recreated a video. It's the same video I've been creating in every solution because I want to get a kind of a handle on how this works. So it's like multiple clips, really simple transitions, music, transition, you know, I'm sorry, not transition, different titling that I created myself. And it did everything. Like it actually worked great.
Did you use the templates at all?
No. Okay. So here's the thing. So when Microsoft bought ClipChamp, this was a subscription service, right? They have three tiers you can pay for. There's a free version, but you can pay. And when you pay, you get extra stuff. Like you get the ability to store your videos in their cloud. You get the ability to gain access to their stock images, stock videos, stock music. They have all those extra things like titles and templates and themes and all kinds of stuff. I was just really, this actually worked. I'm sorry. The thing I was getting to there was in the beginning, you had to pay to get 720p or 1080p output.
Oh,
to get 1080p, it was $19.99 a month.
Oh, forget it.
And so, yeah. So like many people, I was like, no, like I don't care how good this is. Forget it. But it's Microsoft, right? So they dropped all that. They still offer the tiers, but the quality of the output is not one of the options. So you can
still
output
pay
in 1080p.
For it.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not paying for it. But I will say I was pleasantly surprised. It literally did every single thing I needed it to do that I thought I would, have to use a full-featured tool like DaVinci Resolve or Premiere Elements. I was shocked that it was able to do this stuff.
Nice. Well, they needed that because they had to compete with the iMovie. And
I think, yes. So I think the consensus out there is that this thing is not full featured. It's not as good as Movie Maker used to be. I think what I'm trying to say is actually this is better than
Looks
Movie
better,
Maker was.
Yeah. Well, it's more the modern. Only thing, I mean, it could do things streaming and stuff. Yeah.
Yep. The only thing it's missing, I would say, is you can't go above 1080p. You couldn't even pay to do that. So if you're doing 4K, you can't use this. But come on, if you're using 4K video, you're using a freebie tool like ClipChamp. ClipChamp, yes. The version that's in the store, the version that is included with Windows 11 is the same version that's on the web. It's just packaged as an app. There's no difference. It works great. I still can't believe how good this thing is. Like I thought so little of this. I almost completely ignored it. And then I thought, you know, I've been playing around with this video stuff. I should just look now. Now's the time. And I was like, wow, this actually is. I'm like, it's not going to do the green screen. No, it does the green screen.
Wow.
It's not going to let me do multiple like levels of video on top of it. Nope, it does that too.
And this is always like the free level.
Yeah, free. Wow. Yep. It's built right into Windows.
Nice.
Yeah, it's nice.
Very good.
Yeah.
Windows 10 and 11 now?
10 and 11, yep. I believe it's built into 10, but it's not. You can get it in the store. It runs in Windows 10. And you could, you could use Linux. It's in the web. Anyone can use it.
Oh, it's web-based.
Yeah, it's a web app.
Oh, interesting.
I know. It's crazy. It works
so
really,
you can
really
do it on a Chromebook?
I believe so. I mean, I would think so, yeah. I think so.
Oh, that's really interesting. Oh.
Yeah, it's good. It's surprisingly good. And like, you know, there's all this other functionality. You mentioned templates. Like I didn't do any of that stuff, but obviously it does its own titling. It does all, you know, different transitions, different effects, all kinds of stuff is built into it. It's really worth looking at. Like I said, pleasantly surprised. I kind of reversed the app and the tip this week because the tip is related to those other assets, the things you might want to do. Because you can, a lot of the effects and the transitions and titling, that's all built in. It's free. But if you want to have access to like stock images, stock video, music, you actually have to pay Clipchamp. But I actually think the prices they're charging are a little on the expensive side. And I would say, even if you're like, oh, this is it, I'm using this thing, I love it. I would say, yeah, okay, but there are other sources of those assets online. You can just Google it, obviously. But I use Pixabay, for example, to find like one of those YouTube subscribe to my site animations. It kind of comes up to the bottom, a little, you know, thing clicks the buttons and goes away. You know, Canva is a great resource for this kind of stuff. Adobe has a free version of Creative Cloud that lets you make all kinds of stuff, including, you know, titling and stuff for YouTube. You should definitely look at that.
Yeah, Rush.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And then YouTube, if you're going to upload to YouTube, go into their studio section. They have an incredible collection of free music that is freely licensable. You can use it for anything. And it's astonishing. Like, it's a really nice collection of music. And the song I used in the video is from YouTube. So there's a lot out there. You don't have to play Clipchamp. You can get all that stuff from somewhere else. Is my point.
That is the app and the tip all rolled up into one.
All in one, yeah.
Now Mary Jo Foley with her enterprise pick of the week.
Right. So back at the start of the pandemic, Microsoft announced something that they called, let me get this right, it's not as hard as Clipchamp, but it's called the monthly enterprise channel for Microsoft 365 apps. So Microsoft 365 apps are the apps you can download when you have a business subscription to Microsoft 365, Office 365. So you know how you can download PowerPoint, Excel, Word. A lot of people who do this through their businesses, they don't want to get all the new features constantly. They like having them like once every 6 months, get new features. But Microsoft doesn't want you to do that, right? They want you to update all the time because they claim they have stats showing that people who are using the latest and greatest versions of the apps are happier than the people not doing that. So what they're starting to do now is go to some business accounts, and if you have a Microsoft 365 admin center, you should check if you're an admin. You may see a note in there that says, by the way, unless you take action in May, we're going to start making you go monthly automatically unless you block this. So if you've been somebody who's been the administrator for your organization and you're like, oh, yeah, every 6 months we get an update to Word, Excel, PowerPoint. That's great. If you have that message in your message center and you don't take action by May, you may start getting the updates every month on Patch Tuesday to these apps. If you don't want that to happen again, you can go in and it has steps that you can follow to block this from happening. But I have the feeling some people aren't going to notice this in their admin center, and suddenly their users are starting to get monthly updates to all their Office apps, and they may not like that. So make sure you check your admin center if you're an admin. And if you see the note about this, take action if or don't, if you're okay with getting monthly updates. This does not apply to every organization. It seems like they're rolling this out in stages. So if you don't see a note about this happening in May, don't worry. Maybe you'll see it in June. Maybe you'll see it in July. But if you do, you need to take action ASAP.
All right. Buzzword time.
Yeah, so we haven't talked enough about earnings yet. But I think it's always interesting when you listen to these earnings calls from Microsoft to listen to buzzwords that come up a lot.
Oh, my God. Business buzzwords. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And sometimes they're hints, too, right? Like when Satya dwells on something or throws a certain buzzword out multiple times, you're like, oh, they must be about to buy a company here.
Yeah.
Right. Or announce something.
Right.
So I'm taking these buzzwords.
Bucket of fabric.
Right. So he kept using the word fabric during the call yesterday in a couple different ways. He talked about data fabric and distributive fabric. So at the very start of the call, Satya, like, you know, everybody else wants to hear about cloud. They want to hear about Windows, Xbox. He's like, you know what? Let's talk about data and AI. Things that everybody's like, oh, no, really? Are we going to talk about that?
Must be great at parties, you know?
But this is his wheelhouse, right? Satya is all about this because this is the organization he came from before he became CEO. So he talked a lot about the idea that Microsoft has a differentiated data fabric. And he talked about how we have things like Azure Synapse. We have things that integrate our compliance with that and Teams. And so I think my guess is we're going to see some kind of new bundle of something like around the data platform, maybe announced at Build, maybe later. But they've got something up their sleeve in the data space for sure because of the constant referrals to data fabric and distributed data. Another term that they used on this call was industrial metaverse. So they've talked about metaverse at Microsoft in a lot of different ways. But the idea of industrial metaverse, where it refers to things like digital twins, what they're doing with the HoloLens in the commercial space, those kinds of projects, that seems to be something else that's very much on his mind. So I bet at Build, we're going to hear that phrase, industrial metaverse, quite a bit. And one other one I'd call out is collaborative applications. So this is something that the Teams team at Microsoft has talked about in the past. It's the idea of not just integrating applications, but by integrating them, you create something that's bigger than the whole, kind of slightly different, more tailored, not just like take Teams and integrate it with Synapse, but it turns into something else. So if you want to find some of these buzzwords for yourself, it's fun to go through the transcript of the earnings call. And anybody can get this on the Microsoft site. If you go to Microsoft.com/investor and you look there, you can get the full transcript and the PowerPoint slides, all the stuff we use to cover the call and even the recording of the call itself. Anybody can go get those, listen to it. Yeah. And check out all these kind of like little tidbits, hints and tips of things that might be coming.
I think that's a really good point. You can tell what. Do you think it's conscious on his part, or it's on his mind, and so he's saying it, or is he sneaking these in?
No, I think what happens is he's seeing reviews of slides and presentations that Microsoft has coming up, and his team has said to him, Satya, don't drop this on the call. Like we're trying to make
no
it a
name
secret.
Dropping.
Right. And so it's still in his mind. So he's saying these phrases, right?
Whatever you do, don't think cloud fabric. Don't think cloud fabric.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
I like that you, Frank Shaw, I called one of those.
Frank Shaw is in there going, no.
No, one of the very first things he said was he described Azure right up front as the distributed fabric. And I was like, wait, what? I literally quoted it. I was like, this is...
He's not reading something. He's ad-libbing, you think?
Oh, no.
He's reading it.
Definitely reading.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it's words that the PR team is like, okay, you can say that, but don't say what we're going to announce at Build, right?
Oh, that's so
like
funny.
Which is Distributed Fabric 2023.
Exactly.
It's here. Perhaps you've been hearing about it.
Well, I've never heard this term before, I would imagine.
All right. After all this, I think I could use a beer. What do you got for me?
All right. So back when I started doing beer picks on Windows Weekly years ago, when I was a young craft beers woman, one of my first picks was a beer that got me in some hot water. I don't know if you guys remember this. It was called Gandhi Bot. And it was a beer from New England Brewing, and it had a picture of Gandhi on the label turned into a robot. And so I got like some nasty notes
people
from listeners.
Insulted. Yeah.
They did not like that at all.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it turns out the company making this beer, New England Brewing out of Connecticut, heard these complaints as well. So they changed the name of this beer to G-Bot.
To Mohammed Bot.
Oh. No.
G-Bot, right?
Yeah.
And I got to retry this just this past week. And I remember when I first had it, I thought this was like the best beer I ever had. And the reason I made it the beer pick again this week is how it's a good example of how tastes and trends affect what we like and don't like. Right?
IPA is a trend.
God. Well, this IPA, when I had it, I'm like, oh, I love it. It's like so bitter. It's so piney. And then the way people make IPAs on our side of the continent, you know, which are called New England IPAs, they went completely away from that. Get away from the pine, get away from the dankness, made them hazy and like more fruity, right? And so now when you drink this beer, it's just so like foreign. It's just like, wow, I used to like that, you know, like interesting. Right. Okay. It's still good. You can tell it's a quality beer, well-made, delicious for people who like that style. But it was fun to go back after, like, I think this was probably like 6 or 7 years ago that I made this the beer pick and have it again.
Very interesting.
I don't remember that. That's funny.
Yeah. Oh, it was very, like, I got hate mail from people about it.
Wow.
I was like, maybe I shouldn't do the beer pick. I don't know.
Because Gandhi was depicted on the bottle.
Yeah. They were like, this is a religious figure and an honored figure.
Yeah.
Right. People were like, I can't believe you made that the beer pick. That's so disrespectful. And I was like, okay.
That
live and
sounds
learn.
Inclusive to me, but what do I mean?
Live and learn.
Gandhi is a robot. Yeah. I don't know.
Now he's a robot.
I thought you guys, as it turns out, Gandhi is a robot. We just didn't know.
See, now you're just digging in.
No, you are. You're going to get me in trouble all over again, man. Yeah.
I don't know why you hate Gandhi, Mary Jo. No, I
G-Bot.
I hate consumers.
Has nothing to do with Gandhi.
That's right, the consumers. Yeah. Also, anyone who plays games.
Yeah.
Right. Also games. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I hate fun. I hate fun, basically.
No fun. Well, then you're not allowed on our Twitch cruise. But if you like fun, and you'll go on the next one, Mary Jo, cruise.twit.tv. We have a few places left. Paul Thurrott, Stephanie Thurrott, Leo, and Lisa Laporte will be on it. And it's going to be just a great time as we sail to Alaska. Perfect time of year to do it, July 16th through the 23rd. We get to see the glaciers or what's left of them, bears, otters, bald eagles, salmon. It's going to be fun. And a lot of Windows talk, I have a feeling. You might even, if I get lucky, see my Dell laptop. More information, cruise.twit.tv. We have a cruise channel in our Discord, but now I have to say the Discord is for Club Twit members. So spend a little extra, another $7 a month, and join Club Twit. You'll get ad-free versions of all of our shows, access to the Discord, which is full of great conversations about all kinds of topics. In fact, let me just see what we've got. I think we've got 4 events now. Our community manager, Aunt Pruitt's been busy. So we've got an inside Twit with one of our editors. We've started editing interviewing behind-the-scenes folks, so you can get to know the people who make Twit that don't get all the credit but deserve it. John Ashley, that's coming up tomorrow. Scott Wilkinson, Home Theater Geek, May 5th. Robert Ballasaire, The Digital Jesuit, May 12th. And, of course, Stacy's Book Club is a monthly event with Stacy Higginbotham, this month's book, Termination Shock by Neal Stephenson. There's the Untitled Linux Show. There's the Giz Fizz. There's all sorts of stuff going on in the Discord. And then there's the Twit Plus feed, which will have all of this, plus shows we are trying out. One of the advantages of having, you know, paid memberships is we can do stuff that doesn't have advertising. So it gives us a chance to experiment. That's how we launched This Week in Space. We've got another show coming soon. We're very excited about what's going on in Club Twit, and we'd love you to join. And, of course, the side benefit is it helps us keep the lights on in a very, I have to say, uncertain advertising environment. It has really been up and down for the last few years. For more information, twit.tv/clubtwit. Paul Thurrott is at Thurrott.com. That's his blog. He also writes books, kind of an old-fashioned idea. He's an antiquarian.
I'm looking at modernizing the next one, so we'll get to that soon.
His latest, The Field Guide to Windows 10, available at leanpub.com. I highly recommend it. Mary Jo Foley's at allaboutmicrosoft.com. And together, they are the dynamic duo of Windows dozers, or for short, Windowsers. You can join them every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC, right here at Twit, live.twit.tv. After the fact, we've got on-demand versions of the show at the website, twit.tv/ww. There's a YouTube channel. Of course, you can subscribe on your favorite podcast client, too. I encourage you to do so. My friends, my dozers, have a wonderful week. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.
If you are looking for a midweek update on the week's tech news, I got to tell you, you got to check out Tech News Weekly. See, it's all kind of built in there with the title. You get to learn about the news in tech that matters. Every Thursday, Jason Howell and I talk to the people making and breaking the tech news, get their insights and their interesting stories. It's a great show to check out. twit.tv/TNW.